Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Snell Nation. Let's talk about Elon Musk. And I haven't said much about him on this podcast because I don't think there's very much to say. But with his latest stunt of offering to buy Twitter for $43 billion. And I think 2 days ago, it was pumped up to $46 billion. these stunts, I gotta say, like, you know, I don't believe him to be a genius. No, not even close. But he does understand leverage. He does understand publicity and how to get cheap publicity. And when you're one of the richest people in the world, it's not that hard. You can just make a few statements over Twitter or just some simple press conference, and it can shift stock values incredibly. I mean, and it happens fast. And he's done this quite often. I don't know if anyone remembers Dogecoin. Anybody remember that? It's supposed to rival Bitcoin, and it was going to be this big thing. And it was pumped up. And I mean, the coins were next to worthless for a short period. But then throughout 2020, going into early 2021, it fluctuated, but it peaked, some people made a couple of bucks. But what was happening is you'd have Mark Cuban or you'd have Elon Musk just post a tweet about it, or we're going on someone's podcast and just mention it, you know, and the price would just go up and up and up, and people would buy. But the interesting thing about it is each time it would reach a peak, it would reach a high point, and he would sell his, and then a little bit of time would pass and the price would come down. Then he would buy back in, and then the price would inflate, and then he would post something and it would inflate even more, and then he would sell. and he's done this quite often. And yes, it's technically legal, sure, but it's pretty terrible because a lot of the people that don't have millions of coins, you know, that don't have that kind of money, are the ones that were suckered into taking a chunk of their life savings and buying a bunch of Doge coins because they were told, oh, this, it'll be the future, you know, and it turns out it was just another one of those classic Ponzi schemes. Which you'll find with a lot of those digital currencies, Bitcoin being one of the exceptions. But people keep buying into that. And I remember early last year where there was a tweet. Then, of course, it was, you know, CNN had a little bit about it and some other people where they talked about how Dogecoin was going to be accepted by Tesla to purchase Tesla products. And then there were all these rumors. Oh, now, you know, it'll be at Starbucks. It'll be accepted there. It'll be accepted at this place, that place, or whatever. And I remember the price per coin jumping. And it had I think it was a 10% jump. And it hovered. And maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks later, then he turns around and then he walks it back. And then there's another tweet. Oh, well... Okay, Tesla isn't going to accept Dogecoin to purchase products. So sorry. And then it just cratered. But not before he, you know, of course, sold his stuff. You know, it blows my mind how people can be taken like over and over again. And no matter how many, I mean, I've explained this to so many different people and Some get it, some don't. I don't I don't know what else to say. When someone, you know, what is it? If it walks like a duck, you know, quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. You know, well, here you go, folks. You know, how many times? Now, the Solar City acquisition scandal. I mean, a lot of people don't know about it because it's not on Fox News, really. It's not on CNN. It's not some big headline. I mean, it was a series of court cases starting July of last year, where a bunch of Tesla investors are trying to twist Elon Musk's arm to get him to give back a chunk of the money he made during the acquisition of Solar City by Tesla Motors. And he used his influence to sucker quite a few of those investors with accepting that absorption and presenting Solar City as a viable company, as a company that was making money, when in reality it was, I believe it was $2.8 billion in debt. And no one pushed the issue, and it happened. And then after the fact, and investors took a look at it, and people came back, hey, wait a minute, what the heck is this? You told us that this company was viable. You told us that it had consistent revenue, and well, you know, we weren't smart enough to take a look before, and we didn't deliberate before, but here we are, you know, and shouldn't this be in the mainstream news or something like that? No, not at all. There were hundreds of black employees of Tesla factory in California that filed a joint lawsuit against Tesla Motors, claiming all kinds of forms of discrimination and racial slurs and racial graffiti and or racist graffiti, all kinds of stuff. And this was in Fremont. And one of the payouts for that was to a black contractor, and that the total was $137 million to one person. There were other payouts. You think something like that, you know, one of the largest single settlements in recent history is something that wouldn't make the news? No. Nope. Nope. But they'll go on and on like, hey, look, he's trying to buy Twitter, everybody. Look at that. Look over here. Even though we haven't seen anything official. And of course, he's one of the world's richest, or I'm sorry, I think on paper now, he is the richest person in the world. So he can easily make that claim. I mean, if I was in his position, I could do the same. If I wanted to maybe get some free publicity, pump up my stock, and also look like I care about free speech, that's a great opportunity. I mean, next he can say, oh, I want to buy the Washington Post. I'm going to offer them $13 billion. And that's it. The media will run with it. A majority of us will accept it as the truth, even though we've seen nothing in writing. The same thing with, you know, oh, he wants to purchase Twitter for $46 billion. That's cool. Good for you. But okay. Call me when it actually happens. And then call me again when you see what the end result is, because I got a feeling that it's not going to be to the benefit of the little guy. It's not going to be to the benefit of us, of the forgotten 99%. It's hard for me to see that these days, because there's been kind of this consistent pattern of a strong and intense concentration of wealth, power, influence. That's been the trend. And it really took off from 2020 going forward. And it just keeps, you know, the amount of control, I mean, that circle is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I just don't see it. But, you know, I've had people tell me, oh, he's, you know, this he's turning over a new leaf. And yeah, okay, yeah, he was a bit of a con artist you know, as recent as 6 months ago. But he's now, you know, he's turned over a new leaf. He's trying to, you know, do something good. You know, he wants to open up a, you know, like a real free speech a platform. And, you know, and he's tired of all this and cancel culture and all that kind of stuff and yada, yada, yada. It's like, no, really richest person in the world. He really cares about that. Are you sure? Are you sure he's not just bored? Are you sure he doesn't just see an opportunity to toy with some people, make a little bit of money? I mean, he's been doing it for over 20 years. You know, I don't. Nope. it's amazing. I mean, so many scandals and just nothing. So many situations where he received tax subsidies and all kinds of stuff for factories that weren't built or that were incomplete or that were essentially decommissioned before they even opened. You know, scandals involving, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars. And he just comes away, not only does he come away from it unscathed, but somehow he ends up looking like some sort of a hero genius. He's trying to change the world, and he's going to colonize Mars by 2030, 2040, 2050, 20. They just keep pushing that back because it ain't happening. Sorry, folks. Not anytime soon. Not in our lifetime. Because the funny thing is, no matter how much money you have, we have a finite amount of resources. And it seems like people just, those concepts escape people. They get so excited by these headlines and anything some rich person says. And they just, oh my goodness, you know, just like everyone needs to purchase an electric car because that's going to help fight climate change. Okay, well, that's a novel idea. But also, I mean, it just flies in the face of just basic logic. Batteries don't generate power. They store power and then the power is released. Well, where is that electricity coming from? It's not just some magical thing that's just coming from the sky. It's generated somewhere, probably at a factory, probably through the use of coal, maybe. I mean, we're not even going to go into the lithium mines and all that stuff and the cobalt and all the things, the precious metals that are used to build those rechargeable batteries, those incredibly large, incredibly heavy, incredibly toxic batteries. We're not going to go into that. We're not going to go into the construction process and the carbon footprint that it creates. Nope. All we see is just a car that doesn't run on gas. So it's going to help us fight climate change, which climate change in itself, you know, it feels like it's like this fake fight against the weather. I mean, is anyone with half a brain and anyone who's taken a little bit of time to read into the history of this planet, technically climate change has always been a thing, even before human beings. It's just, it's weather. It's a thing that happens. You know, are there things we can do to make things better? Sure. Do I want to see clean areas and recycling and all that kind of stuff? I don't mind it. I mean, well, cardboard, glass, things like that. Sure. Recycling precious metals, sure. Plastic, a majority of that is it can't be recycled. But we like to feel good. You know, it's not about doing good. 2022, it's about feeling good. As long as we feel good, plugging our car in, sapping electricity from the grid, that's generating like electricity from nuclear or coal or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, just as long as we feel good. But anyway, let me bring it back into this, bring us back on track here. If I was a betting man, I would say this whole Twitter purchase thing is just another publicity stunt. It's another bit of just free PR, and people are going to eat it up, and he gets to look like a hero. And even though, you know, Twitter initially said no, or hey, this can't happen, You know, so then they just, you know, jack up the price a little bit. And there's no consequences to his actions. I mean, he's gotten away with a little bit of everything. I mean, he's made decisions that have crushed countless numbers of people and countless families. And there's nothing. There's no consequences. He's made statements. There was a defamation case against that British diver who was trying to save those kids in the underwater caves in Thailand. That whole thing, I think, it was in 2017. And he Musk once again, like, oh hey everybody, I got this special designed sub that could help with the rescue. And the divers say, no, it won't work. They show him diagrams. Hey, it's a tight space. You can barely fit just a grown man through, you know, with oxygen tanks and that kind of stuff and medical equipment. So we can't use your tank. What does he do? Well, he calls the guy a pedophile and says he married he's dating a 12-year-old girl or something like that. And it turns out, well, his girlfriend's actually 40. But he made some assumptions, which if it had been anyone else, he would have been called racist and sexist and all kinds of stuff. But not only that, but it got very little press, and the case was handled behind the scenes, the defamation case, and he was found innocent. Even though what he put on Twitter and what he said about this man impacted this man's career, but he's one of the richest people in the world, so it doesn't really matter. No consequences. That seems to be the growing theme here. Laws are for poor people. Consequences are for poor people or for the peasants. That's it. You know, that's just my observation. Maybe I'm wrong, but the pattern is there. It's right in our faces. So I mean, if you got the money, you can influence the politicians and influence law, and you can influence and control the media. And as long as you have those things, you can essentially shape the perception and the reality of most of the people in the country or whatever space that you're operating in. It's an interesting thing. But I also find it even more interesting, the fact that these are things that we don't always feel comfortable talking about these things openly, like, you know, how we believe the world truly works or who do we believe is really in charge, because most people are afraid of being ostracized or isolated or demonized or whatever word you want to go with. But it's taboo. So we can't openly talk about how we may feel the world truly works or share some of our ideas on this thing. Unless, of course, it aligns with the narrative, you know, where we are a constitutional republic and we're a democracy and we vote, you know, for our public servants and they do our bidding because, you know, we pay them with our taxes and yada, yada, yada. When you look around, you just step back and take a good look, you'll see that things don't really work that way. And they haven't worked that way in a long time. I mean, I'm 39. Not in my lifetime. I don't know. Maybe my grandfather. I don't know. But I know in my lifetime, no, I've yet to see that. I've yet to see situations where people have their public officials and public servants look out for their best interests. I just haven't seen that. I've seen a lot of selling out. I've seen a lot of collusion between the ever-growing government and the ever-growing and influential corporate sector. I've seen lots of evidence to that leads to that conclusion, that there's an entanglement. I've seen the studies done at Cambridge and Harvard and Brown, where they went back 20 years and they looked at legislation and made the determination that the top 10%, their influence, they can influence, I think it was 70% of the legislation that have come out during that time, whereas the commoners, such as myself, our influence is a little bit more on the lower end. We're in the low tier there. And something that can be proven. You can lay all that information out. And I've done that in the past and nothing, still nothing, but whatever. I'm going to keep trying. I'm not going to give up. I'm just as the information is, I read and I study and I see things, I'll present it and put it out there. And if some people want to accept it or find it interesting or maybe spark a little curiosity, which is my primary goal, then fantastic. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. But I'm here to tell you that based on what I've seen over the past 20 years, Elon Musk is no genius. He is a con man. He is an opportunistic person. And he understands leverage. He understands how to utilize free PR to his advantage. And he's gained so much acclaim, so much power, so much influence, so much money. And now he also has the backing of plenty of politicians that it doesn't matter what he does at this point. I mean, he's failing left and right with all these different projects with the Boring Company, different projects with Tesla, different projects with Neuralink and, you know, all these failures. And it's just if it's not in the news, then it never happened. If Fox News, CNN, CSNBC and all that, if they're not talking about it, then it didn't happen. Because that's what we've been dumbed down to. That's what we'd be conditioned to be those opinionated automatons. And we wait for someone to package our opinion and drop it in our lap. We wait for the media to tell us what to love and what to hate, who to vote for, who to not vote for, where to go, what to buy, all that good stuff. A majority of us anyway. We wait for our programming and then we move forward. So, sorry to end on such a sour note, but believe it or not, I'm still a bit of a optimist, but I am a realist as well. So there's some conflict there, but anyway, I'm going to step off of here, but enjoy the rest of your evening. I'm going to have me some coffee or something and do a little bit of writing. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. And all your feedback is much appreciated. I'm out of here. Snail Nation out.